Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Brewing with the Bears, sponsored by our good friends at Shelburne Falls Coffee. I'm really happy to be joined today by Molly Sear, our head track and field coach at Smith. And Molly, welcome.
Thank you.
And
glad to be here.
Good. It's good to have you. And congratulations. You're starting to wrap up, or just in the of your first year at Smith.
Yes.
And we're really happy to have you here. And how has it been so far? What's the overview?
Oh gosh. I mean, I've loved every second of it. I love the staff that I work with.
That's great.
Our GAs, Jack, our student athletes. Not only like are they working hard in the classroom, like they worked really, really hard on the track, and that really showed last weekend at our new MAC competition. So
yeah.
It's been amazing. I've loved every second.
That's fantastic. And now on to the important stuff. What'd you get this morning?
I got a Cinnamon Toast Crunch Latte. One of their specials. Yes. One of their specials for, I'm assuming, spring.
Nice. Well, it's National Cinnamon Day.
Is
Did
it
you
really?
Know that? Yeah. Was that, I don't know if that was free today
really?
Or not, but yeah.
Wow.
So cheers.
Cheers.
I got a hot black coffee. Because they were out of the cinnamon to shake into this, so that's okay though. I'll live vicariously through your good actions there. You guys, it's been impressive to see you. We actually play and train in the same area mm-hmm. around the track and share an athlete in common.
Yes.
And so I really enjoyed that, getting to see what you guys all do, which I always love to do anyway, but then also I've just found that your demeanor around your athletes is really impressive. Like, I can tell that you love it.
Thank you.
Thank you. And it seems to me like gratitude is a big part of how you function and support. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, I think like in the sport of track itself, it's a lot of like self-work and a lot of self-confidence. And I think one of the biggest things that I really try to do as a coach working with these athletes is like try to instill that self-confidence and like being really appreciative of the work that they do on their own. And I think like that gratitude in working with those athletes and like trying to instill that self-confidence and appreciation for everything that we do. I mean, it's a really, really, really long season. We start practice in September, so and we're still going to continue on until middle end of May. So I think just like being appreciative of the athletes and the work that they put in, and just the support that we get from the rest of the department and the rest of the athletes. I mean, sharing a space with Kathy and the soccer team, it really shows like the amount of support that we get from the other athletes, even though they may not know what we're doing every day, just the same as we may not know what your guys are doing every day. But one example comes to mind is that we had a really tough workout on the track, and the soccer players were sitting at their bench and cheering us on. And I think like that just speaks a lot of this department and the kinds of students that we get to coach every day.
Yeah, it really does. And I love when the athletes can see, like we all go to each other's games and mm-hmm. meets and everything, but to see each other training.
Yes.
Too, right?
It's a different
because
story.
It's, otherwise sometimes it just gets reduced to like we run around chasing a ball and, you know, you guys run around the track. And
yeah.
it's such a reduction and disservice, but for the athletes to really appreciate that. And you did such a kind thing in pointing that out in terms of the gratitude and support that our players gave, just in sending me a lovely note. And it couldn't have come at a better time about how great your athletes felt and how great you felt about that. And it couldn't have come at a better time for us with our team, like kind mm-hmm. of at the end of our spring season. So I really appreciated that.
Yeah.
And I saw that came through even last year when we had a chance to meet when you were on campus for a day.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really been nice to see that it's coming. It comes out so much in your coaching. Can you talk a little bit about like what your journey to coaching was? Because I mean, you were a standout triple jumper at Ithaca College. Go mm-hmm. Bombers.
Go Bombs.
Did some really cool things at Springfield and at Moravian. And
yeah.
Just talk a little bit about that journey.
Yeah, well, I originally, funny enough, went to Ithaca with soccer in mind and try to be a journalism major. And I found out, like, in my senior year of track, that I was like, I don't really want to stop this. And I was looking at Ithaca for both soccer and track, and then somehow landed just on track. And my coach there, like, really helped me navigate to where I am now. I ended up really not liking journalism. It wasn't the right fit for me, and I felt really lost my freshman year at Ithaca. And she kind of guided me to the physical education department, which is where the same department that she graduated from when she was in undergrad. And then from there, like, she just really was a role model for me. And then my senior year, there was an opening at Springfield College for a grad assistant position. And she, like, let me know. And the coach I was working with was also a graduate from Ithaca. So it kind of just, like, fell into my lap, which is crazy. And I feel very, very lucky. And then at Springfield, like, I got to work under the assistant coach for a year, and then he moved on to another school, and then I got to head the jumps group, and
yeah, that's cool.
We had some really amazing performances. I got to take my first, like, solo athlete to nationals and accomplish some really fun things. And I knew then and there that this was not something I ever wanted to, like, let go. I wanted to stay in track and field. I wanted to stay in sports. And then I went to Moravian for 2 years and got to work under Jesse and John, and two very dedicated coaches. They've been there for over 10 years. So I really learned a lot from them. And as much as I wish I could have stayed there and, like, worked under them and with them for a while, I knew that I was ready to take a next step take this opportunity, which I am so glad that I was able to take, because I've learned so much about myself. Mentoring GAs is something I've never done, and I've really enjoyed every single second of it, and, like, working with Jack and just with the coaches in this department as well. It's not something I've ever experienced, this community.
That's terrific. And you know, you talked about luck a little bit, and I always say that I've never seen a bad team with good luck. And so I think you set yourself up for those things in such a good way, and so kudos to you for that. I always think that's impressive. And I do have a question just about, so how does one become a triple jumper? Like, were you, like, a hopscotch champion, but you just skipped the whole thing, or, like?
Yeah.
I know I said hopscotch. I meant hopscotch, but, you know, just forgive me. So excited about my coffee.
So
yeah, like, how did you try? Like,
yeah,
how did that start?
My sister is a year older than me, mm-hmm. and everything she's done, I've done. I actually at dinner last night was telling the GAs that I work with, every sport she did, I had to try. I taught myself how to swim because she joined the swim team, and same with track. She joined track, and since she was a year older than me, I was always 1 year behind her. And she joined track, and she was like, Molly, you should do it. I was like, okay. And I became a miler and a steeplechaser. And then we had a very small team, and mm-hmm. so they would just let us, like, try out new things, and we didn't have a 400 hurdler, we didn't have a triple jumper, and I was sitting in the front of the bus on the way to a meet, and the coaches were talking about, we need a triple jumper if we, like, want more points. And they turn around, they were like, Molly? And I was like, okay, yeah. Sure, I'll try it. And
I love it. That's fantastic.
Yeah,
I was really curious about that.
Didn't really look back. And then, I mean, mostly I was a triple jumper and a 400 hurdler. And then going into college, I just really wanted to specialize in the triple jump and in long jump. So that's how I found it.
That's really cool. I like that. So I'm glad that your sister wasn't a bank robber. So that's good, though.
But we're all thankful.
Do you arrive early for everything? Because I know you arrived early in life a little bit.
Yes, yes.
Is that why you're besting your sister even? It's like, oh,
yeah.
9 months, child's play.
Yeah, so...
I love the backstory of this, and so I apologize for no segue there, but it's really cool. And
yes.
I have to feel like it informs a lot of things that you do, and it gets back to the gratitude
yeah.
that you show.
Yeah.
Can you talk? Do you mind talking about that a
no,
little bit?
Yeah, no, that's totally fine.
Okay.
I was born 3 months early. I was 2 pounds when I was born, and... my sister was a year old at the time, so, like, my parents were juggling a lot. I was in the the NICU for 3 months, and my dad was going to work. My 1-year-old sister was away with my aunt at the time because it was just so much to juggle.
For sure.
And they told my parents, like, there might be a lot of setbacks on this journey. And I went through, like, occupational therapy, speech therapy, wow, all that kind of stuff up until, like, third grade. And, like, there were times where they were like, yeah, like, she probably shouldn't be playing sports. She's so small. She's so little. Like, her bones are very fragile. And it's kind of funny with the position I'm in now that I'm coaching sports. And but, yeah, I kind of didn't really – I remember sitting in the doctor's office when they told me that I probably shouldn't be playing soccer or contact sports anymore. And I told my mom, I was like, I don't really care what they think. Like, I want to do it, and I'm going to do anything to be able to do it. So, from there, I don't really think there were, like, many setbacks. And I think, like, you touched on the gratitude again, going back up until, like, my 20th birthday, back to the nurses that helped me. And I would bring them, like, brownies, cookies, cake, or whatever. And they ended up throwing me a 10th birthday party and an 18th birthday party at the hospital, which was really special to me. And, like, a lot of those babies that are in the NICU, like, don't survive. And there were babies in there that were smaller and bigger than me that didn't make it out. So it's just, I'm very appreciative for the work that those nurses and doctors were able to do. And so I went back and just to say hi all the time. So
yeah, that's incredible. It's inspirational. And I didn't want to let that pass because I had seen that and I was not surprised by it, knowing the little bit the bit that I do. But it is inspirational, and it you know, the intestinal fortitude that you have, that you bring with you, and then the gratitude that you show for people and show up for them is, I think, in coaching and in life, that's just, it's just huge. And so fantastic stuff, and what a great example you set for everybody that you come across, but certainly for your athletes and your GAs. So that's really cool. So like you said, track starts, it's like the never-ending gobstopper of a of a season.
Yes.
And and so talk about what you have coming up and how you strategize to get this all to work, because talk about juggling.
Yes.
There's a lot to it.
There's a lot. There's a lot thinking about, like, qualifications at certain meets, if people are actually going to compete in those meets, and, like, what that means. With some of the more distance runners that we have, Ami is a 10K runner, and it's really hard for her to be able to run multiple 10Ks a season. So she opened up at Silfen, mid-April, I want to say, and then ran another, or maybe it was beginning of April, and then ran another one last weekend. And so she's qualified for this weekend's regionals, but we're not going to end up, we didn't enter her, so she's not going to end up running, because we want to save that 10K and that performance for a couple weeks from now when we go to down to the Philly area for our All-Atlantic region. We also have our multi, Elaine, who also qualified for this weekend, but she ended up doing her heptathlon last weekend and did very, very well, but it's 7 events. And to do 7 events in 2 days and try to get better every week is really hard. So we're also going to save her for our All-Atlantic region. And so there's a little bit of patience. There's a little bit of, like, strategy in what we want to enter people in. Lyda Martin, obviously a standout in indoor season, in the mile. She has qualified to run the 1500 this weekend, and we're going to run her and hopefully going to squeeze out another NCAA qualification. And if we're able to do that in a couple weeks, we want her to run the 800 to also see if we can squeeze out an NCAA qualification. So there's a lot of, like, there's a lot of strategy, a lot of thinking to it, but I think all of those athletes understand. And even though we had 11 qualifications for this weekend's regional competition, or I guess we are running 11 events, we had probably like 16, 17 qualifications. So although like 11 is great and awesome, like I still want to highlight some of those people who did qualify were just choosing to wait.
Yeah, it makes so much sense. And the just the like looking ahead and knowing what's ahead for people, and then also the communication with them is, you know, the skill to do that and the timing of it and everything else, because you don't want to surprise somebody with that one way or the other.
Yes.
And, you know, and these are bright people for sure, but they also want certain things. And so to be able to kind of communicate that, that you're highlighting them at their best is, you know, that's all part of the coaching thing that is the, you know, is sort of the magic of whether it succeeds or not in those relationships. So, so that's cool. So what would be, so what's the goal for this weekend with these 11? Or it's 11 events. I don't know if it's 11 athletes.
There's
it's
10, probably 10 athletes in one relay.
I'm sure. Yeah, that's what I thought.
PR. Yeah. We just want them to run at their best. I mean, right in indoor, it's hard because we're training through the season. Although we're trying to be our best at like our Peter DeVilliers meet and the indoor regional competition and obviously NCAAs, we do train through a lot of the indoor season. So right now, as we're getting towards the end of the outdoor season, this is where we're truly like tapering and peaking and pulling back on a lot of the training. Yeah. So this is the time to run fast, get some of those personal bests, school records, NCAA qualifications. So that's really what we're hoping for this weekend.
That's terrific. And you mentioned Peter. It's nice seeing him out at the out on the track. I love just chatting with him as we're heading out to our practices. And can you talk a little bit about, you know, just that connection with him and kind of who he is and the icon that he is in this program and
at the school? Of course. Yeah, I mean, Peter really paved the way for this program. He started it. He helped turn some of the first coaches into the legacy that they are now. And some of those athletes that he coached along the way, just incredible that he's done this. And we love having him around. And although we did add two more GAs to our staff this year, he is helping us like mentor them as well. And he's still competing. He's competing in June.
He threw a PR in the hammer,
I think it was. So even though he's still coming to practice, he's still mentoring, he's still helping out at the Northampton High School track. He's still competing. And so I'm really excited to see what he does. He entered a new age group this year. So I'm really excited to see how he does this summer.
Yeah, I mean, it's incredible. I feel like no one can come out to training and be like, oh, I feel so tired today. I don't know if I can do this. And look over at Peter, myself included. Like, I talked to Peter. I'm like, oh, I gotta up my game here because this guy's, you know, decades.
Really inspirational. I know our throwing group really looks up to him, too.
Yeah.
Because he's in the ITT throwing. He's up in Olin lifting. He's outside throwing. He's in his backyard throwing. So I know our throws group really looks up to them, and I think like it is really showed this year with the amazing things they've done during competition too.
And see, when you're like 83, you'll be triple jumping all over the place, right? You'll
be like that one.
wait till you're in the age bracket and be like, oh, I could shine here. Here we go.
Yeah.
Here we go. What are some of your favorite things to do, like when outside of coaching? I know it's been your first year too, so you might have to like reconnect with some of those things because you've been going like crazy for months.
Well, our staff does get together. We play trivia. That's a weekly thing we love to do, and maybe some days we're not all there and some days just a couple of us, but that's just how we connect outside of the office and have a little bit more of like a human moment, not just like a staff and office moment. And other than that, I have two cats, love them dearly. It's actually my cat's birthday today. So,
nice. Happy birthday. What are your cat's names?
I have Nico. It's his birthday today. He turned two. Nico. And then I have Remy, who is three. She's two. She'll be turning three in May. So, yeah,
That's
I love
nice.
Them so much. And then in addition to that, like I'm running Ever since I graduated from college, I kind of took up a little bit more of distance running because it's a little bit easier to do that than triple jump on my own.
Yeah.
So I've taken that.
Someone calling the authorities.
Yeah. So cool. I ran a marathon 2 years ago,
wow.
And I'm actually planning to run a marathon in May, or half marathon in May,
nice.
And then a marathon in October. So
that's really cool.
Takes up a lot of my time right now, but I'm having
a ton
of fun.
That's awesome. Are you running on trails around here a little bit too, or is it mostly road stuff?
Mostly the bike path,
yeah.
Or like around the athletic fields if it's like a little bit of a shorter day, or on the track for a workout.
Good for you, that's
but
awesome.
The staff that I work with is also very into distance running, so it's very convenient that we'll find
yeah.
time to work out together. We'll bounce ideas off each other, and I think
just saw Jack running in as I came in this morning.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And like the lifting aspect too. I hate lifting, but Carrie Burr is always
all
up
about
in
it, right?
Yeah, always up yeah. in there. So she really motivates me to do that. And I think like Cora and I, we haven't always had the best relationship with like running. So I think the staff that we have and just like the community around running in the office is so uplifting and inspirational that it's made me like just so happy about what my body can do, even though it might not be like the best of the best. It's my best. So
yeah.
it's really great. And it's just inspiring to be around these people.
That's so cool. Yeah. And sometimes just like to be able to do your best on the day,
mm-hmm.
like that's something sometimes athletes, they're really hard on themselves about. And there's some of that drives them. But there's also that sometimes like being your best on the day
mm-hmm.
is, you know, that's a good benchmark for the day.
Yeah.
And then you build on that.
As long as it's your 100%.
And give yourself some grace about it. But that's cool.
I
love that you're still doing that. Can you talk a little bit about like just maybe a moment or a situation with an athlete that, you know, is just memorable to you and special to you for a certain way? And
at Smith?
Sure, whatever you want.
I have two that come to mind. One was an athlete when I was at Moravian,
yep.
and one is an athlete here at Smith, who will be coming back next year, so I'm really
Good.
Eager.
Go with the Greyhound first.
Okay. She was a senior my first year there, and she was a very good high jumper and very, very talented, but wasn't always confident in her abilities. Had a lot of like lower leg shin issues, which is very common in our sport, and wasn't always giving her 100% because she was afraid to fail.
Yeah.
And so one of the things that we worked on a lot, she didn't want to compete at the conference championships in indoor, and she had this goal to go to nationals. And I kept saying like, these are the steps we need to take if that's the goal that you want to achieve. And
mm-hmm.
I knew that she could do it. And I think she knew that she could do it, but she was so afraid to fail along the way. And once outdoor came, we really knew that that was going to be the end. Like she wasn't going to grad school. And that was going to be the end of her track career. So as an athlete, so we get to a couple meets before outdoor conference championships, and she had a moment, and she was ready to give up. She took her shoes off. She wasn't done. She wasn't out, but she took her shoes off, and she was like, I just can't do it. And up until that point, I kind of left the ball in her court a lot, and at that moment, I was just like, no, you don't get to give up right now. You still have an opportunity. Like, what are you going to make of that?
Mm-hmm.
And I think she realized, like, oh, like, I'm not done. Like, let's just go for it. And she put her shoes on and she kept jumping and she attempted a PR bar that day.
That's so cool.
And we got to a last chance meet and she qualified for nationals. And then we went to the regional meet and she won and secured her spot at nationals and then became an All-American and placed fifth in the nation. And like, those steps up to that moment were not pretty at all. But probably one of the most memorable moments of my coaching career so far. And I asked her, like, what was it?
Yeah.
And she was just like, I realized that I'm not having fun. I wasn't enjoying it. And if I want to be able to get to those goals, like, I want to be able to at least say I had fun along the way. And she just really enjoyed every moment.
That's great.
And we laughed along the way and, like, we just enjoyed it. And it really, really paid off. And I think, like, if I'm going to take anything away from that, like, if you're not enjoying what you're doing, you're not doing it right.
For sure.
And so I always say it to my athletes, like, we have to be having fun.
Yeah.
And then I guess this year, one of my most memorable moments was with a junior 400 runner, and she was kind of like in a rut, lacked a little bit of self-confidence, and was not getting the times that she was hoping to get at the point of the season we were in.
Mm-hmm.
And we were at the New Balance facility, which is an amazing facility, and she was running the 400, and I was like, I want you to be proud of this. Like, I want you to go out there, I want you to have fun, and I want you to be proud of the work that you put in. And she may not have run a PR. I mean, it was close to it at the time. But she got off the track, and everyone, like, huddled around her and cheered for her. And she said, this is the first moment this year that I got off the track with a smile. And it made my heart just so warm and happy. And then she went on and PR'd even further. But I think, like, a majority of it is just like, you need to have fun and you need to enjoy it and you need to be proud of yourself. And those things will get you to those goals.
Yeah.
That's and something we work on.
Like, you've already, I remembered the first story from earlier, and mm-hmm. and I loved it when I heard it the first time. And it struck me then, and it strikes me seeing you coach now and relaying this story, that, you know, the nuances of coaching, like, it's easy to see when an athlete is accomplishing, like, high achievements and setting records and PR and personal records and everything else, but the nuance of timing, of when there's that opportunity for growth, I think that's such a sweet spot
mm-hmm.
of coaching, to sort of have that that inclination of when is the right time, because you could have said those same things at the wrong time
mm-hmm.
and sent it a
Definitely.
Different way, and so, you know, you set the stage for things for people, and that's you know, that's the nuance to it, that, you know, it's not in a coaching course, or it's not in, but
yeah.
your inclinations to it are terrific, and so that's fun to see, and it's always a good reminder. Like, I like that, as long as I've coached, like, to have conversations with you and to see you coach, that's like very renewing for me, and I really appreciate that, because you don't, as a coach, want to just keep doing the same thing over and over and over.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you'll draw on things that are working and keep doing them, but you want to come at them in different ways, and
mm-hmm.
I just, like I said earlier, I just love the way that you are with your athletes. I can see how they, you know, how your training is organized and how they're paying attention, and that there's light moments up there too.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a wonderful combination. And we're just, like, so glad that we're here, that you're here. So I have a question for you, and we didn't talk before this, so I'll just ask, have you ever been given a piece of advice that kind of, or a quote or something that carries you sometimes, or that you refer to? And maybe not, but, you know, I know you've had some terrific mentors and
I'm probably going to botch the actual quote and,
you know,
the actual
works.
Note,
yeah.
But, being a female in coaching is very difficult, especially when, I mean, maybe not here, but when you're coaching men, it's hard, especially as being a young woman in sport.
Mm-hmm.
And I was struggling a little bit with, like, being a female in sport, and I reached out to my college track coach, Jen Potter, and she sent me an Instagram picture, and it had a quote, and it was around a female coach in basketball, and just said, like, being a female in sport is uncomfortable, but uncomfortable doesn't mean wrong. And, like, just showing up as my authentic self and not apologizing for who I am, and, like, just showing up as me. And
yeah.
I think, like, that has carried me
That's great.
A lot, and, reminding me of of all of my unique strengths. Mm-hmm. And I just think about it. I have it on a little note on my desk. And when I do feel a little bit like insecure or not confident or whatever it may be, I just take a look at it and I remind myself, like, you're here for a reason. You're you for a reason. And how are you going to use that as like an advantage? And those are just like some things that I just remind myself, like, and I tell that to my, I tell it to my athletes, I tell it to my GAs, never apologize for who you are. Yeah, you may do things that you need to apologize for, but do not apologize for who you are. And yeah, I think like that's just something that
that's great.
Brings me a little bit of comfort.
Yeah. I love that you have that too, that you can just even probably just look at it without mm-hmm. even reading it and be like, oh yeah, that mm-hmm. just resets everything mm-hmm. and keeps you going. And I love that you share it with your athletes and that you reached out for some advice from somebody, because that's the hardest yes. part sometimes is to ask for a little bit of help. So kudos to you, Jen Potter, too, at Ithaca. And I think that's a great way to wrap this up.
Yeah.
Because that's just universally great advice. So let's end this brewing with the Bears there. Mala Sear, thank you so much.
Cheers.
Best of luck to you and your athletes.
You.
And on to year two.
Mm-hmm.
No rest for the weary.
Can't
you, everybody.
Thank you.